Hello, Christ Community Church. This is Pastor Mike Gett. Today is September 6th, and we've been reading Ezekiel, in particular chapters 46 through 48 we read today. In my reading, there's been a sense of great anticipation placed into me in respect to the future. I don't pretend to completely understand all that we've read together in the last few weeks, but I am interested in seeing how these far-ranging prophecies are going to be fulfilled. And I can't wait to glimpse the heavenly Jerusalem that I think is being described in these passages that we read earlier. And now, listen, I understand that it's debatable whether Ezekiel is describing here an earthly scene during the millennial kingdom in Jerusalem, we know, or whether he's telling us about the new Jerusalem that the Apostle John describes in the book of Revelation. But a couple of things in the last few chapters that we read today may, in fact, be pointing to that latter idea. The first is the river that is described in chapter 47. It comes out from beneath the temple and then flows south and east downward toward the Dead Sea. The sea Ezekiel is talking about is not the Mediterranean Sea, but it's the Dead Sea. As the river flows away from the temple, it gets deeper. 1,000 cubits, it's ankle deep. Another 1,000, it's knee deep. Another 1,000 yet, it's waist deep. And then finally, 1,000 cubits more, it's deep enough to even swim in. And apparently it's swift enough that you can't even cross it. Ezekiel doesn't mention any other tributaries that flow into this river to cause it to get so deep and voluminous. Indeed, if the idea that its power and purity come from the fact that it flows from the temple, well, then other sources are just simply impossible. This is, in effect, God's river. I do not need to tell you that this description is supernatural. All right, there's no great water source waiting to erupt beneath the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The river Ezekiel describes is the river of life. It turns the Dead Sea into fresh water so that it begins to support incredible abundance of life, fish, and vegetation. Now, just in case you don't already know it, the Dead Sea is at the lowest elevation. It's 1,300 feet below sea level, and it's also the saltiest sea on the planet. 25% of it is salt. It's not very hospitable. But Ezekiel says, in my vision, it's going to be. Now, it is impossible to read Ezekiel's description and not think about the river of life that is described in Revelation chapter 22. It also flows supernaturally from the throne of God, and on each side of it stands the tree of life. Its leaves, according to John, are for healing of the nations. In the case of the book of Revelation, we are explicitly told that John's vision is symbolic. Might it also be the same with Ezekiel's river, that both may be pointing to the same thing? Now, of such a river, Scripture speaks in many places. Where God rests, we find rivers flowing. There was one in Eden. There was a literal river flowing forth from the garden, dividing into the four great streams. But elsewhere, we find the river spoken of in a spiritual sense. There is such a river of refreshment of which all may drink who are willing to stoop down in repentance and receive that which God so graciously offers. This accords with what we have in the New Testament. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, from within him shall flood rivers of living water. John 7. Speaking prophetically of our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah said this: a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. Chapter 32, verse 2. Whether, therefore, Ezekiel's vision of a river will be fulfilled, literally or not, we don't know. Of this we can be sure, though. It does speak to us today of that same glorious river which is brought before us in so many other places in the Word of God. Now, a hint that Ezekiel might be using symbols to speak of a new heaven and a new earth, described in Revelation 22, is the very last sentence of his great book. And it says, quote, "And the name of the city from that time on shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there." In Revelation 22, John writes, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men." He's going to live with them. They will be his people. He, God himself, will be with them and be their God. He says in the New Jerusalem there will be no night, no need of sun, no lamp, because God's presence is going to be sufficient source of all light and warmth. Well, it may well be that within these chapters, Ezekiel is looking beyond the millennial age to the new heaven and the new earth. Now, if that is so, then our questions last week about the need for and the function of sacrifices are all answered. The descriptions of the temple and its worship then become symbolic elements meant to direct our attention to the primacy of worship and to the activity that's going to be our preoccupation for all of eternity, and that is the worship of the Lamb and of our God. Once again, today is September 6th, and this is Pastor Mike Gett reading with you some observations of Ezekiel 46 to 48. Have a blessed day, and I'm looking forward to worshiping our God for eternity, and I know you are too.